reach with self-taunting and before that ween with mutilated lips. You are listening to Syrup Moose Radio. I am the host of that show, and we have been talking about the ways in which the structures around us fail to meet our needs when it comes to our mental health. You know, because I like to keep it light on this show. but yeah, you know, I think part of it too, part of the issue that arises, and, you know, like I said, with this program that I was talking about, where the big change I was able to bring about was the change of the name of the program. You know, these programs want to sound like they are doing what they, everything that they possibly can. And so often they fall short. You know, Bell donates money, I guess, and has a hashtag, but how much understanding do they actually have? How much support do their workers have? From the sounds of it, not very much. So there's a disconnect between how we want to appear to be supportive and how we actually are supportive. And I'm sure anybody who has, you know, worked a job knows that trying to explain to your employer the pieces that you need in order to be effective, and, you know, some of the accommodations that you might need, can be a real uphill battle. You know, despite a certain accommodation being built into our employment standards, you know, you should be able to ask for certain things that you need. But the, you know, there's a interesting and bizarre standard of proof. And what I find really interesting and telling about it all is that it all seems to come back to our ability to be productive and to contribute to capitalism, because everything can be tied back to capitalism. You know, I mean, we even talk about self-care now in the context of how it relates to our productivity and our ability to generate capital or contribute to the economy, right? Self-care is packaged and sold to you for money, and it is seen as a thing you have to be doing if, you know, you're going to be productive at generating capital. So they kind of get you at both ends, right? What are you doing for self-care this week is a question that I hear, that I have heard at a lot of jobs. And all the answers are always the same. I'm going to have a bath, a thing you were going to probably do anyway. You know, I mean, self-care really is I'm going to not be at work for a week, or I am not going to engage with you past my working hours, or whatever it is. We now are in a space where you not only have to do a self-care, but you have to make sure that people know about it and that they see that you're not lazy. You're doing self-care. It's not that you're not productive. It's that you're doing self-care. Why is taking care of yourself and your needs not just default and expected? Why is it a novel and unique thing? Why does it need to be structured in any way? Why can you not, if you want to, just sit and stare at a wall? Because the wall does not provide you with stimulus and you are overstimulated. Right? Why is that less desirable? I know one of the things that would help me a lot was I would go into my bedroom, turn the lights off, and just lay on the floor in the dark. And that I found extremely helpful. But if you told someone that was your self-care for the day or for the week, you're going to get some looks about it, right? There's going to be a judgment there because it's not productive. You should be productive in your downtime as well as in your work time. You know, and it's interesting. It's interesting the ways that capitalism comes in and corrupts the something as critical and simple as caring for yourself. You know, and like we talk about burnout, like it's an expected part of any job. Oh, everybody's going to burn out a little bit. Why? Why should that be the way that it is? Why should we not be able to care for ourselves without burnout? Why should we have to do that? And, you know, it's everybody wants to support your mental health condition until it makes you kind of hard to be around. And then they don't anymore. And I just think that there's something very telling in that. And, you know, not everybody understands, and that's fine. Not everybody needs to. But we also don't really provide a ton of genuine care and consideration and those sorts of options for folks, do we? We kind of just skip over the hard stuff. We, you know... Oh, you need to go for a walk is something that I've heard a lot growing up. But, you know, before I've struggled with depression, anxiety for most of my life, and never really had a diagnosis until I was in my 30s, and I didn't start taking medication until I was in my 30s. And so, you know, people kind of will tell you, oh, just go for a walk, go touch grass, right? And it doesn't help. And what's interesting to me is understanding now what my medication does. They're serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And so essentially they force your brain to allow serotonin to sit there longer, right? So your brain doesn't take it up and make it disappear. And so thinking about that and then looking back at the context of my life and the decisions I've made and the behaviors that I made, that I've engaged in, it's clear to me that it was my brain seeking serotonin. And that is interesting. It's interesting to contextualize that at a chemical level, right? And so I don't really have a point, I guess, other than to say that the systems that we are engaging with daily are not actually equipped or interested in helping. They are interested in mitigating your issues so that you can be productive to capital again, or to be, you know, buying things and being part of the economy again. When I was diagnosed and looking for available supports for mental illness in Canada, and, you know, Canada is supposed to be the golden land of free medicine and all that shit, and that's just not the case. One of the options I saw for finding support was starting a GoFundMe. That was a a genuine piece of advice I found on a website. You know, 10 ways, you know, 10 sources of funding for mental health care, and one of them was to start a GoFundMe. And that's wild. It's wild. And it's, you know, it is challenging because as someone with a mental illness, you can't, you know, a lot of positions are not understanding and don't have a built-in structure where you can take time when you need it to not be at work or to not be in a, you know, to just be by yourself sometimes is what you need. Anyway, I like, you know, I'm saying this and I am extremely fortunate in my current employment position, but I've been in a lot of jobs, and a lot of jobs do not have care or understanding or the capacity for it. And I'm sure a lot of you listening can relate to that, how you go in to a shift because you kind of have to, because you got to pay rent, and it doesn't matter how well you're doing or how badly you're doing, right? And you just got to shake it off and go to work. And I'm telling you now that if we all kind of force change, that's how we can make things change. But we just have to try. And it's hard. It's really hard. All right, folks. Poppy up next here from their new album. I have to listen to the whole thing still. I haven't yet. But this is Eat the Hate by Poppy. I think the first, like, new song. Oh, no, sorry. Death's Reach was a new song. Anyway, Poppy, the Hate here on Syrmos Radio. We will be back. Eat the Hate, Poppy, and you are listening to Syrup Moose Radio with me, the moose guy. We've been talking about mental health and the ways in which capitalism is at odds with people's ability to support themselves and to support each other. And I think deliberately so, right? I will say I am extremely fortunate in that, you know, my wife understands me and what I've been going through and has been supportive, even at times I imagine when it's very challenging to be. So I'm very fortunate in that regard, and I also am fortunate to have an outlet. I make music, I have this show, you know, I have these ways of expression that help, you know. And you know, I'm also at a in a position where I'm very fortunate in that, you know, if I can't do a show 1 week, I send an email and everyone says, hey, you're good. Take care of yourself. Right. And so I'm very fortunate in a lot of regard. I have, you know, I do have a job that is challenging and that does sometimes take its toll. But I also have an employer who is very understanding and patient. So, you know, there are these ways in which I am uniquely well supported, and I recognize that. But also, I think that because I am, you know, I use he, they pronouns, I kind of don't get into my own gender stuff too much because, you know, it's not really anyone's concern. But I present as being quite cis, and, you know, I'm so. And I think there is a certain level of male socialization in our society, our culture. And we've talked, you know, it's been talked about to death by people smarter than me, but there is definitely a certain level of expectation on how and when men feel emotions and feel them strongly or feel them openly or anything like that. I think that there is an expectation of a certain level of like stoicism almost. And I think we're getting better about that and embracing things a bit, but you do still see it leak through. And you do still see it, perpetuate. And I think sometimes in just ways that are unconscious, you know, but I think part of it, I think there is a conversation to be had there. And I think that there is a way of having that conversation, but I think it's gotta be, in a lot of ways, I think it needs to be men having that conversation with themselves and with each other, rather than trying to have those conversations on top of conversations about other things. Right. And maybe there does need to be more like men's groups or whatever. I don't know. People need to start finding these ways to address these feelings and these expectations that we find ourselves with, because they do exist. There are absolutely gender expectations that we put on ourselves and that are put on us by others. And I think finding space to acknowledge that is important, right? I recognize so much of this is redundant or kind of preaching to the choir or anything like that, but I don't know, maybe it isn't. Maybe there is someone listening to this who has felt that way and hasn't been able to articulate it or something. You know, I think we so often don't have time for self-reflection and introspection, engagement with ourselves. We don't have time to check in with how we're doing, and a lot of the times we're not doing great. And sometimes too, you don't really know you've been sick until you start to get healthy, right? Starting to take the meds that I'm on, or even, you know, starting to use a CPAP machine like I have for the last couple of months, like, the difference is unbelievable, and you wonder how you live the other way at all. And, you know, I mean, I've even seen the progression in the music that I make. You know, I said online the other day that my first album was about, you know, killing myself. The second album was about how everybody should die. And the one I'm planning now is about how actually there are things that make it worth it. There are things that make it easy. Like, I'm clearly working through something, and I didn't even necessarily start doing that deliberately. I just started making the art that was speaking to me at a given time. So, you know, I don't know. And I think that looks different for everybody. And I think there are going to be people who think this is sort of self-absorbed ramblings about stuff that doesn't need to be on the radio. And that's fine. But that's where I'm at. And, you know, I woke up this morning with a really profound sadness, and I don't really know why. It could have been dreams that I was having. It could have been, you know, whatever. I have moments where things from 10, 12, 15, 20 years ago pop into my head, and I feel horrible about them all over again. Like, it's really hard to say what's going to trigger a response. But I think we need to get better about interrogating those things and not worrying as much about how we can just get over it, because sometimes you have to sit in it. And if you can just sit in it and sit in that uncomfortableness and that ugliness for a minute, you're going to feel a lot better. You know, and like I said, I would love for you to share your experiences. You know, I'm sure other people feel similarly to me. Maybe people feel totally differently to me. You can feel free to send me an email, syrupmoosrecords@gmail.com, if you want to share your mental health experience and the ways that you cope. You know, I'm not asking you to share your self-care routine, because it's insane, but, you know, what things do help you move forward and move through the world? What are the things that are keeping you grounded, right? What stops you from floating away? That's the kind of thing that I'd like to know, because I think those things are a bit more abstract and a little harder to put into an itemized list, right? Here's 10 tips for self-care. And one of them, you know, is the grounding feeling that you get from, I don't know, whatever. I just would love to hear from you about it. And, you know, the other thing too is, I think the more open we are about these things, the better as well. And the more normal we make these conversations, the better. I remember, you know, I've been on my medication now for a couple of years, and it's been life-changing in a positive way. And I also recognize that when I first started, I felt a level of shame about it. There was a feeling of like, I quit, I've given up, and I need medicine to fix my brain. And where does that come from? Why does that infect my brain, right? It's not a productive thought. It's not helpful for my healing or my recovery or whatever, but it was there right away. And I still feel it from time to time, and it's not helpful. It's not constructive. But I think the more we can be open about it, the better, right? The more we can talk about these things, the better. And I don't know. I don't have a solution either. That's the other thing about all this, is I don't know what the fix is, other than, like, you know, the complete overthrow of capitalism and a universal basic income. You know, that's because so many of the things that keep us down are structural and societal, and we have to break those things down if we want to do anything. And so many people still want to fight us on that. I mean, we can't have, you know, people are fighting for the basic respect that they deserve, and we can't even give them that. So how are we going to get more nuanced and complex with it? That's the real question. So, all right, it has been an hour of me just going, and we are at the end of the first hour somehow already. So we're going to listen to some Donovan Woods, a brand new one from them called I Talk About You. I still remember I discovered Donovan Woods on CBC Radio like years ago, and I've been a fan ever since. And yeah, it's good stuff. If you haven't heard him already, real folksy, real relaxing. A lot of mellow music kind of stresses me out, ironically, but I do still have a soft spot for Donovan. So we're going to listen to that, and then we're going to come back at the top of the next hour with some more music, and we'll see what I feel like talking about in the second half. Maybe I don't feel like talking about this stuff anymore. I don't know. I'm sure I'll find something to talk about. All right. Once again, Donovan Woods, I Talk About You here on Syrup Moose Radio. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Thanks, folks. Take care of yourselves, for sure.
I talk about you to anybody who's gonna listen. Be through, and I'm gonna go on living. All your pill bottles had two kinds of pills in them. I talk about you to anybody who's gonna. Set to 62. Only one kind of food in the kitchen. And all your sweetness had a little bit of anger in it. I talk about you to anybody who's gone.
Listening to Syrup Moose Radio, a show from